This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
Protestations of Obama himself in his speech to children in Northern Ireland about peace. When he said, those who choose a path of peace, I promise you that the United States of America will support you every step of the way. We will be the wind at your back. Now I ask you, is this person going for the Hypocrite of the Century Award? Because we have to call things by their right names. And the reality is that by any serious examination, this man is a war criminal.
2-1-1-0.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
The original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
New government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have this far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism one exceptional American at a time. And the question is, are you that exceptional American? I suspect you are. So welcome aboard, ladies and gentlemen. We've got really quite a fantastic show going on right now. Throw out the notes. I mean, I had a whole plan here for today. And, of course, first thing is that the president, he's being a disruptor on my radio show. Comes out and surprises everybody. It's a sort of a historic moment where he comes out and addresses everybody on the lawn of the White House. Never before done, apparently. Everybody's just a buzz. You could just see everybody's faces in the White House, the old executive office wing. Everybody's out on the steps taking a look at this, going, oh my gosh. So anyway, people are just freaking out. And of course, he's just bombing on the mainstream media out there. He was with Steve Doocy of Fox News. He went out and met with them. It was really funny. Anyway, we got a lot of other things going on. This IG report, we're still sticking with that. And we don't want to fail, of course, to mention what's going on in California, New California, and all the things that are happening there. We'll get a little bit of that out as we talk to Scott Bennett, who's with us. Scott Bennett has had a big role in what's been going on right now, especially with this IG report. There's going to be more from Scott Bennett that's going to be playing a role here in this report. And we've been talking to him for the last hour. We have him hold over here because there's more to go, and we're just not going to let go of this. We're going to get it out, let people understand what we need from you as help, too, to get this all this stuff out on the table that's involved with the IG report, that with the FBI, the investigation of Russia, the Russia, Mueller thing, all this stuff. Scott's got tons of information, and we're going to make sure it gets out. So anyway, Scott, we were going to talk about, I think at the last part of this, the significance of what was going on at the time with John Brennan and the Ukraine. and the lead up to what we have even here today, because John Brennan, he started his career as a CIA director right after Petraeus was taken out because of Benghazi. And
yeah.
Brennan immediately goes to Ukraine to get rid of the pro-Russia leaning president there and takes him out and puts in literally a Nazi-leaning government aligned with the Muslim Brotherhood and the Sunni and the Salafi Muslims, which is what we have today in the Ukraine. And now we've got this going on with Brennan actually coming out and sort of, I mean, it's post his own administration coming out and being so critical, vehemently so. I've never, you know, like everybody said, we've never seen people like Clapper and Brennan and Comey come out and blast the new administration ever. This never goes on. And these guys are doing it. It's a thou protest too much thing, obviously.
Yeah. Well, John Brennan actually started his career a little bit earlier before he was CIA director. And I mentioned that. That's another reason why Shell Game is very significant, because I reported on September 25th, 2012, that John Brennan was one of the people here that was implicated in the terrorist financing UBS accounts that Brad Birkenfeld had brought over. And I'm looking here right now where I mention him, and he was John O. Brennan, counterterrorism advisor to Obama and candidate for CIA director until withdrawn. So when I sent this report to Senator Feinstein, to Senator Bill Nelson, to Senator Duncan Hunter, to Congressman Jason Chavez and Saxby Chambliss and Jeff Sessions and all sorts of other people on September 25th, 2012, that Brad Birkenfeld and I put together with all of the WikiLeaks cables, which implicated Hillary Clinton and the Department of State. John Brennan was then the counterterrorism advisor to Obama.
Right.
So he was not yet CIA.
Right.
And that's another reason why he should never have been confirmed, because he was implicated in a military whistleblowing report that talked about terrorist financing and all of the operations that they were just starting against Libya and against Syria. And that's when he later, after my report, then he became CIA director. Then he goes to Ukraine and launches this coup d'etat of Ukraine with Victoria Nuland to overthrow the government. And now we see the effect, the war crime. And that should be a war crime. And Obama and Brennan and all of these people should be prosecuted for it.
Well, you know, this brings up something else that's very, very important for the people to understand. Here you have John Brennan, who is a devout Muslim. He converted to Islam from being a Roman Catholic back in 1996 or something like that. And he becomes the national security advisor, right? Or terror? What was his job with Obama before CIA? What was his visit? What was it?
He was national security advisor. National counterterrorism advisor.
Right, national counterterrorism advisor. That I remember that. And before that, he was basically a hitman for Obama, and that's another chapter.
Right.
But you know, I want to get into this time frame, because you bring out that time frame when you wrote that report. When was that report in 2012 on Brennan?
September 25th, 2012.
So that was right after Benghazi.
Right after Benghazi. It actually had been produced and sent to U.S. Central Command and others on August 1st, 2012. So it was a little over a month that the official version went beyond the military leadership. I sent it to military leaders first, because I was a military officer. I followed my chain of command. So I sent it to James Mattis at U.S. Central Command. Brad Birkenfeld and I spent a few months putting it together. I then sent it to U.S. Civil Affairs Psychological Operations Command in Fort Bragg, which was my direct command, because I was a PSYOP guy. I then sent it to Martin Dempsey and Ray Odierno, and a few other people in the Pentagon and in the Army. And then I sent it to the Armed Services Committee and the Senate and the House Armed Services Committee. And then we expanded it to other members of Congress. And that official version went out September 25th, 2012, and it went out through the prison email system, so it's in the prison email system, from a military officer who was a political prisoner, by Obama, by Eric Holder, by Laney Brewer, disclosing how they were financing terrorism, and it needed to be stopped because kids were getting killed and maimed because of it. Do you think anything was done? Absolutely nothing. And it still infuriates me, and I still demand an opportunity for Brad Birkenfeld and I to appear together and testify before Congress, because this report implicates them in war crimes, and it also explains why Trump's been having this horrible fiasco in Syria, dealing with ISIS, where they're getting their money, why there's UBS banknotes wrapped around their pallets of money. It's because of this, because of this report, because of the 19,000 bank accounts with hundreds of millions of dollars that they confiscated, Hillary Clinton confiscated, and the Clinton Foundation confiscated, and Eric Holder, Loretta Lynch, and Laney Brewer, and the law firm Covington & Burling all participated in. The drama is multidimensional. It's deep, deep, but it's all coming out.
Okay, now we've got Brennan involved here, and again, besides that, because he was helping with the UBS business, United Bank of Switzerland, but at the same time, we had James Comey involved at Shanghai Bank, and he was making sure that the monies were deliverable to whatever sources out there that he was sort of tasked to make sure that ISIS was created. That was his job. Now, see this, and the reason why we're doing this, ladies and gentlemen, we're lining up the usual suspects here, is what we're doing. So that you have a contextual understanding that this is back in 2012. So, and what operational things were starting to swing into play then? And of course, you say August 1st, you're still imprisoned at the time, a political prisoner, and you're doing the unique thing of being able to take your reports because you're still a commissioned officer. You didn't lose your commission. You're still doing your reports, and you're sending your reports up through the prison email system. And they're obviously getting there because nothing's being bumped back, and you know that it's in their hands, all these different reports and all these, but they're still ignoring you. But the uniqueness, yeah. Scott, which I think is a little bit humorous, and I know that not disparaging your time in prison with these folks, but my point is it's a little odd and somewhat whimsical that you're still able to keep your commission and then pass those reports up.
Isn't that the divine irony? Because you got a military officer with his commission in in a military
prison, in jail.
With a human intelligence asset that was a Swiss banker that was chased by the CIA, mind you. Never forget, Brad Birkenfeld was chased out of Switzerland by the CIA. Brad told me the story. It's in the movie Snowden that Oliver Stone depicted, probably because we called Oliver Stone and talked to his staff and explained this. Brad Birkenfeld was in Switzerland. Edward Snowden was a CIA analyst who was tasked with tracking Birkenfeld. And Edward Snowden was part of a DUI ensnarement operation where Brad Birkenfeld was entrapped in a DUI. And the next day in Switzerland, a CIA agent went in to turn him. And that's when Brad fled Switzerland and came over to the United States with all of these bank accounts. So I downloaded from him all of these stories and the WikiLeaks cables and the whole drama that Eric Holder and Laney Brewer and Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and Covington and Burling were involved with. And it matched perfectly with the work I did at U.S. Central Command in terrorist financing. That was my job, tracking terrorist money supplies. And here I am in prison with the number one human intelligence asset, with all of the documents I needed that pointed straight to Saudi Arabia, straight to Qatar, straight to the Hillary Clinton Foundation, straight to the Hillary State Department, where I worked in the counterterrorism office as well. And it pointed to February of 2009, when she started doing all of these things. It really started in December of 2008 with the financial crisis, and they threw Birkenfeld and buried this in order to stop the hemorrhaging of the financial meltdown. And Comey's implicated because he was connected with HSBC. And all of these other banks, and that's the other thing, HSBC and Comey. The other report was Carl Levin, the senator Carl Levin, wrote a report on terrorist financing in HSBC in July of 2012. So Comey and the terrorist financing were recognized by the Senate in July of 2012, and none of this stuff was really brought out and was really exposed to the American people. And I sent it to Fox News, and I sent it to O'Reilly, I sent it to Hannity, I sent it to Greta, I sent it to Britt Hume, I sent it to Chris Wallace, I sent it to all of these people, as well as at NBC and MSNBC. No one did anything except the CIA operatives, Michael Isikoff and Tom Hamburger of the Washington Post and MSNBC. They came up and interviewed me. They came up to download all of my documents, and the only thing they said to me was, "Mr. Bennett, why do you think the CIA would do this?" Well, I hadn't mentioned the CIA up until that point. So, you know, this is exploding in their own – they're hanging themselves by their own gallows. But then again, this is about America. This is about awakening of Americans to the corruption and to the abuses that have been done for the last – I'd say 18 years, but really under Obama, the last 8 years. And there's a lot of other things that are coming out. And one of the things I said just before we broke was I was over in Iran last month with Peter Maloof of the Pentagon, Phil Giraldi of the CIA, Peter Van Buren of the State Department, J. Michael Springman of the State Department. All of these guys, very smart whistleblower guys who have seen the corruption of the deep state, and wrote reports and were fired because of it. We all went over to Iran and talked about our experiences, the deep state operations, and how this is the threat to, you know, peace and stability. And it was fascinating for me to be there because we also met with, I mean, Iranian officials, Iranian diplomats, Iranian universities, Iranian clerics. And I can tell you, Paul, honestly, and you know me, All of the people that I met in Iran were very, very honest, kind, stable. They're not a threat. They're not these violent, fascist, boy-raping savages who throw acid in women's faces. They're not the ISIS terrorists. They are, in fact, fighting the ISIS terrorists along with Russia. So they are not the enemies of the United States. They are being made to look like the enemies because of a political agenda I think Netanyahu wants to continue, which is to disrupt and destroy all of these nations around Israel for political advantage. But that is not in the American people's best interest. They don't want to go to a war with Iran for Israel, or a war against Russia for Israel, or a war against North Korea. They want peace and stability. They want their kids out of the Middle East. That's why Trump was elected. And I kept saying that to Iran over and over again. The JCPOA has been thrown out because it was Obama's JCPOA. Give Trump the space to create another one, and you know, and he said we'll have today more flies with honey than vinegar.
You know, he said that today. He absolutely said exactly. Now, say what the JCPOA is, so that you and that people can reference that.
JCPOA is the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, which establishes the nuclear ability of Iran to manufacture nuclear power plant material while avoiding the production of nuclear weapon material.
Okay, now, see, today he came out and he said he ragged on the deal. It was a bad deal. And he said that it's not best for the Iranian people, and or something to that effect. And he said, "Look, we can come back and address this again," in almost exact same, not wording, but obviously meaning exactly what you were saying to the Iranian people. Look, give him some space. He wants to come back and redo this, because I agree. Obviously, the Iranian people aren't the enemy here. It's the leadership that's doing the things that they're doing. And
it's important to compare them, and everybody's starting to pick this up. The Iranians are not the Saudi Arabians. It's the Saudi Arabians which are causing all the turmoil in Britain. It's the Saudi Arabians which are the Wahhabi mosques that are raping women and setting up grooming gangs for young girls, getting them addicted on heroin and turning them into whores. That's the Saudi Arabians, the Wahhabis, not the Iranians.
The
Iranians are our allies in that.
Yeah, you've got two different distinct groups of Muslims over there, the Shiites and the Sunnis. And the Iranians are Shiite, and the Sunnis are literally the savage ones. They both can do savagery, there's no question about it, but the Sunnis are the ones that are affiliated with Al-Qaeda, ISIS, and the Salafists, and so on, which, you know, of course, the Muslim Brotherhood, which, of course, was working hand-in-hand inside the White House during the time of Obama's presidency. The Muslim Brotherhood was hired right up front to work inside. It was John Rasmundo and Steve Emerson of the Intel, I think the Terrorist Project or whatever it is. I can't remember which it is. They actually outed the fact I think it was 2011 or 12, my radio show, Electronic. First time they put it out over the airwaves about the connection between the Sunnis or the Muslim Brotherhood working and visiting and cavorting with the President of the United States in the White House at all times. It was actually over my show because no one would believe them, and the mainstream press wouldn't talk about it. And when I called them days after they came out with their report, and it actually appeared on Drudge, I was the first guy from any media source to contact them.
Right.
I was the first guy. I mean, I'm just little old me. I just called them up on my cell phone and said, hey. And they weren't head over heels for me. They were so excited to hear from somebody. And then I said, wait a minute, why are you so excited? And they said, well, no one has contacted us. I was stunned. But, you know, that's the way the media rolled then.
Well, and see, that's the other thing, Paul. You're sort of the center of the storm because we contacted Michael Cohen, and after we contacted him in 2015 and then 2016, they invented this Russian narrative. They attacked Michael Cohen. They claimed he went to Prague and was working with Russian agents. Who are they claiming are Russian agents? Me? You? Because we've outed ISIS and the terrorist financing, and immediately Russia went in and attacked ISIS a month later. And a month later, after I did that on your show, I was called into RT on Crosstalk, and I've been giving interviews on their Russian television channel. Is that why you're calling Russian agents and Russian operatives? Is that where you got the idea? Because a military guy was talking on RT, and this is sort of ignited. And of course, I'm not a Russian agent. I've never have been, and never will be. But
nor
it's
am
fascinating.
I. Nor am I. But you know,
no,
you can't.
Of course not.
You can't deny the dates. That's somebody was asking me. Well, how did you know? Well, first of all, you got contacted. I got contacted by the Russian TV people about is this for real and all this stuff. And then you were on the air, but you know, we produced that videotape. You know, at the Liberty Tour in July of 2015. In fact, it was July 11th, I think, of 2015 is when we did that third Liberty Tour, and you spoke. And then a month later, we get the call, or I get a call, and you get a call to go on Russian TV. And, of course, the Russians had seen the YouTube. And they're going, wait a minute here. This implicates Hillary Clinton and Obama in the formation of ISIS. Hello?
Right.
And what's happening to Putin? His people are being killed and slaughtered by ISIS. And, of course, that's when he started bombing ISIS shortly after that. And he started bombing ISIS in, I think, September or October, sometime in that time frame.
Yeah.
You know, that was the indicator to Obama, like, wait a minute, how'd they find that out?
That's right.
And then by there was some, remember the response by the, well, by ISIS and by extension the United States, actually, that jet airliner was brought down by ISIS.
Yeah.
It was blown up in the Sinai, and then that one aircraft was shot down and so on. But then other things started to happen. I'm not going to reveal or say what happened in the meantime, but something really shook up Obama in the beginning of December. It had something to do with the San Bernardino shooting, actually. And yeah. by the realization that, we have to talk to Putin, they did. And that talking started in the end of December 2015, which yeah. is also the same time frame that they go into jumping. Now we're back to Strzok and Page. They started that investigation into Trump's campaign.
Yes.
Because yeah. they're thinking, oh, obviously there's some collusion there. Now, I thought long and hard about this, Scott, because, you know, it keeps coming back. You know, we've been on the air talking about this. We're out. You've got YouTube's yeah. out, and it's got our voices talking to Cohen and all this stuff.
Yep.
They haven't connected those dots. And I'm sitting there thinking, are they that cloistered into themselves? And, of course, the other part of it is, which I really think is the big part, we're not the mainstream media. We're the alternative media. And as yeah. a result, they just ignore us. And they think, we don't know anything. We haven't done anything. When the reality check is, Donald Trump listens to us, not yeah. the mainstream media. And that's that whole thing that came out today. He's just blasting all these guys. I mean, but, you know, his intelligence sources are media like us. That's really what
well,
it is.
That's right. That's the thing. His intelligence sources are, the alternative media have military and former intelligence guys that love the country, love the Constitution, and are trying to help the president by giving him the best true intelligence about the reality that he's facing. On the ground, around the world. That's what this has always been about. We're trying to provide the intelligence to the president. That's why I called Michael Cohen and talked to his assistant and said, look, before he goes on the debate, he needs to know about this. He needs to use this. And I spent 20 minutes talking with her and recorded the conversation. And then we called him again, and we've called his kids, and we've presented this in a very humble but very firm way. Look, the president needs to understand this. He needs to act on it. As the president, I don't care about the parasites that hover around him in his staff. I've seen a lot of these people, and a lot of them are very bad news. I consider John Brennan a lunatic and a bad guy. I think Nikki Haley is another bad person. I think some of these people are just so into the war agenda and into pushing America in a bad road. It's gonna hurt Trump, but I'm also confident that he's smart enough to recognize that. And I think when he starts saying things like, "Hey, Crimea belongs to Russia," is a very smart thing, because that's the truth. I think he's smart when he says to Iran, "Hey, let me do my own JCPOA, and we'll revisit these things." And I said that to the Iranians too. And here's the other thing, Paul. When I was in Iran, I was taken up, and I haven't revealed everything that happened in Iran, because I want to give the president the time to act on it. We have submitted materials for the White House and the president, and I won't go into those because they're to give the president a briefing about our trip there and what was said. But here's one of the things that I have said, because it's so important in case anything happens to me. The Iranians are coming back in New York and filing a countersuit against the 9/11 nonsense that they accused Iran of violating. They accused Iran of being a causal party in 9/11. The Iranians are coming back into court and showing evidence and expert witnesses and materials in their defense, which will also explode the 9/11 narrative, the 9/11 false PSYOP attack, which precipitated all of these Middle Eastern operations. The 9/11 event was one of the greatest psychological operations in the history of civilization. And isn't it ironic that the Iranians are going to be coming back into court in New York and saying, this case that you've laid against us is completely false, and here's the proof. Here's the evidence. We had nothing to do with it. And incidentally, all of the expert witnesses and testimony and videos that we're going to be submitting is also going to prove that the 9/11 narrative is scientifically impossible, that there was no plane that hit the Pentagon, period. And here are the experts that provide the data and the testimony. Therefore, Iran had nothing to do with this because it didn't happen.
You know, one of the
all of that is going to explode.
One of the big, of course, players in this, which is of course the enemy of Iran, so to speak, which is Saudi Arabia. They had their hand in the whole 9/11 agenda. You have to say it's an agenda that plays out after 9/11 as well, with the whole thing about terrorism and the Patriot Act and all this other good stuff. you know, the way in which they're going to control and manipulate ultimately the United States of America, which is that they've played it out. In fact, they really, really were playing it out during Obama. We saw that just, and of course now in California, it's kind of switching gears here. By extension, now in California, the whole agenda of the communist agenda, if you will, that has been playing out in California. I just think it's just a further extension of what happened, really, that started in well before 9/11, but it hit the big thing with the 9/11. It's an extension. I think that they wanted by 2020 to have the United States really under control, and had Hillary Clinton won, they would have succeeded. And what we're seeing right now in California, though, because California is the last part of this little wave, if you will, that would have totalitarianism that would have swept over the United States through Agenda 21, the Saudis, all these other bad actors out there, is now they're scrambling here in California. And, of course, New California is playing a big role in that. I know that because we're starting to get the attacks on us and all the things that are happening to us, and I'm not going to go into that right now. But it's pretty obvious that they want to stop us. I mean, there's a lot of people wanting to they've awakened and they say, wait a minute, this New California thing is a real problem because it's going to give freedom and liberty back to the people, which they did not want. This whole thing is not going to, it did not play out well, and it's because of the election of Donald Trump. And had Hillary Clinton won, I'm telling you, it would be really ugly right now all throughout the United States.
Oh. Yeah, it would be. And you still see, especially in California, and this is the thing that is dividing California, is they are pushing this homosexual transgender agenda, this GLSEN agenda, the gay lesbian lifestyle group that is going into schools and forcing schools to create third bathrooms, transgender bathrooms. That may not sound much, but it is the beachhead that they are using to exploit schools and turn them into social engineering, social corruption centers to try and psyop these kids into the whole embracing through inclusivity and tolerance and all of that, the homosexual agenda. And I went to a school meeting of the board here when they voted on this to build a third bathroom. And I said, you are harming these kids, and you are going to be put on notice that you're harming these kids, and you may be prosecuted because of all of the legal and moral and physical damage that you're opening up these kids to by this psyop of creating a transgender bathroom, by expelling students that, quote, bully or don't have any association with or don't want to talk to anybody who uses these bathrooms, et cetera, et cetera. So this is the fault line that will divide California, I think, because anybody who has a child, a mother and father, is going to have a choice. Do you side with preserving your children and giving them a healthy lifestyle, or are you going to side with those predators who want to rape and infect and destroy your children and cause them to turn into schizophrenic, Antifa, tattooed, multiple piercing, drug addicts, criminally inclined, morally and intellectually and psychologically and emotionally and spiritually crippled? You choose what you want your kid to turn into, but those are the only two choices. And it depends on how you're going to create their school and the entire curriculum about the school. That's where the rubber is now meeting the road.
Well, you know, the other place, too, is playing out in the legislature, the monoparty system and the dictatorship of Jerry Brown. And we've been talking about this, of course, through our grievance process. We're up to number 22 of grievances, and people are just kind of freaking out that we've gone through 22 weeks of this, and we got till 40, of course. But it just played out here the other day. I think it was Wednesday. There was several hearings down in Sacramento, and of course, the one that was really the big one was I think it's AB 2643 or 2349 or whatever it is. And that's the one that basically says that it makes it illegal for anybody to recommend conversion therapy. And of course, it also talks about pamphlets and all this other stuff. even references and books and so on. They're basically trying to control thought, obviously.
Yes.
Because this whole thing about conversion therapy is when you have counselors, or if you have somebody of faith who wants to bring that person to Christ, as an example, and wants them to get out of the homosexual lifestyle,
yes,
which I had
yes.
a relative actually did do this,
yes,
then that's illegal and being banned. And, of course, it went through the hearings. The sponsor of the bill are very extremely into the extreme gay lifestyle, as well as several members of the panel. And, of course, the bill just marched on through. But there was a large number of people there that were protesting, and a large number of people saw for the first time, I think,
yes.
and have become more empowered now, because they're seeing what we've been saying about California and dysfunctionality at this level. You have the monoparty system. So
fascism.
Exactly. Well, you know, in California has a legislative cycle of a legislature that runs 11 months out of the year. Now, I want people to fathom that. They are passing laws 11 months out of the year. And then with the laws come regulations and taxations and fees and all this other stuff. I mean, it's a little wonder why everybody's all of a sudden starting to feel, wow, we feel oppressed. Well, that's because this is communism, and they're taking your freedom and liberty away in all these different extreme ways. It's very simple right now. This is how this mechanism works. It's very simple right now for them to introduce a bill one day, go through the committees, and by the week's end have a bill passed and presented to the governor. I mean,
yeah.
That's how quick these things can happen, because the governor is going to sign basically anything that he wants to right now that's going to guarantee that freedom and liberty in California goes away. That's just a fact. That's a reality check.
Yeah.
And it's oftentimes missed by people, but that's the stuff that we're going to correct with New California. We're going to bring that freedom of speech back. We're going to prohibit things such as this, the Bible-busting laws that they've got out there. We're going to bring back the Second Amendment and, you know, all these things. And, of course, the fees, no more California Air Resources Board, all this stuff, the freedom and liberty are going to come back. But these are the kind of, this is the kind of empowerment, though, that these people, had it not been for Donald Trump being elected, you talk about violating the supremacy clause like they've done with, bringing in sanctuary state. They'd go much more extreme than that.
Yeah.
And Hillary Clinton, as president, would not do anything to stop that in California. And that would
You're right. She would have arrested and prosecuted people like us, Paul, as political prisoners, domestic terrorists. We would have
absolutely.
Been sent up to private prison camps and left there to rot, unless we had enough people calling for our trial. They do that to people, and this is what their agenda would be, because their agenda is to turn America and California into a neutered, castrated, androgynous, half-wit society, and the only way they can do that is by removing the leadership.
Yeah, and anybody who objects to their agenda, and of course,
yes.
As an example, MS-13. You know, MS-13, and of course the cartels have now run rampant throughout California. We've been pointing this out to everybody through our grievances week in and week out about the invasion, because the guarantee clause says that the federal government has to guarantee us free from invasion, a Republican form of government, and free from domestic violence. Well, right now, that's being violated all over the place, and Californians are not being free from invasion or domestic violence, and we certainly don't have a Republican form of government, and that's why we have the monoparty system and the dictatorship. But, you know, we are being invaded and have been invaded for a long time because Jerry Brown has given incentives. This government, this monoparty system and this totalitarian government of California has offered up money and jobs and so on for illegal foreign nationals to come in and invade. Jerry Brown did away with the Bureau of Narcotics Enforcement in the California Department of Justice. This was one of the finest branches of law enforcement in the nation, the Bureau of Narcotics Enforcement, and it was stopping the cartels and everything from running wild here in California. But Jerry Brown, when he got to be governor, one of his first things he did was to defund the Bureau of Narcotics Enforcement and lay off, fire 400 elite special operators that knew everything on how to stop the cartels. Now we are flooded with cartel members. You know, one of the things that was pointed out to me the other night in one of our meetings is that we had a meeting and there were some ranchers there, and they're giving me reports now. Listen to this. They're giving me reports now that, you know, they've long had this, the marijuana grows and all this other stuff that have been infringing upon their ranch land and things like that. It's rampant in California, ladies and gentlemen. Absolutely rampant. Up in Butte County, there's places where they bring in D9 cats and strip whole areas of mountain away just to put in marijuana growth. This is happening in the foothills of California all over the place. The toxic waste and everything else that goes along with it. But now what we're getting is this report that they're shooting and killing, of course, their cattle, the ranchers, and they're not happy about it. But then the other thing that they're doing, rather than even killing the animal, what they do is they shoot just out of cruelty. They'll do a gut shot on these animals and just let them die. I mean, a painful, agonizing death, for whatever reason they're doing that. But these are definitely cartel members that are doing this. Here's another thing that's really an indicator of cartel action. And I don't know if Californians are ready for this one, but this is something that happens all the time in Mexico. But they're now finding animals that have been chainsawed to death. Hacked and chainsawed to death. I mean, the decapitated, dismembered, using chainsaws. Now, I want to point something out to the audience here, Scott. That practice is used on human beings by the cartels in Mexico. Right. That is something that is just over the top. But we need to bring this out to the public. But this is the depravity. It's no different than the depravity of a John Brennan, what he's doing, or a Page or a Strzok. It's all the same mindset and mentality. And now they're doing it here in California. That's in the United States, folks.
Yeah. Well, remember, Paul, too, one of the things they're also doing in California is teaching prisoners in halfway houses when they're being released out of prison. They're being brainwashed with a class called Deep Black. And this was being done by Jerry Brown and Xavier Becerra and the Federal Justice Department, and the Federal Bureau of Prisons, with Eric Holder and Loretta Lynch and all of these people. And the class that they teach inmates is that the CIA and the Mossad have been running the drug operations and the assassination operations from Southeast Asia to Afghanistan for the last 40, 50 years. I was in the class. I got the syllabus. I smuggled it out. I put it in the shell game book. Deep Black. I sent it to Judge Virginia Hernandez Covington, my judge, who was connected to Covington and Burling, the law firm that was involved with this terrorist financing. And Deep Black is a huge piece of evidence of this plan to continue just on all sorts of levels, drug operations, assassination operations, the destabilization of the society in order to build up a police state, in order to build up more mechanisms of control by infuriating prisoners, telling them that the government runs these operations, and either they get a job with the government CIA or they go back to prison and, continue the prison complex. And it causes a lot of these prisoners to lose their minds and become so disenfranchised with the government because they're being told by the government that the illegal activity that they did and they got thrown in prison for 25 years is what the government does as a standard operating practice. Imagine just the mind-shattering realization of you going and spending time in prison a long time. You've lost your family, you've lost your wife, you've lost your children, you lost your home, you've been in jail for 10, 20, 30 years, and you come out and you're given this class that a little CIA operative walks around handing out syllabuses saying Deep Black is the report by David Guyette. It's true. The CIA and Mossad and the government run these operations. Imagine that. Now, no one. When I filed that motion to Judge Virginia Hernandez Covington, I said either this is true or it's false. Either way, it needs to be investigated by the court sua sponte because it's a destabilizing, corrosive syllabus that the Department of Justice is using to brainwash inmates and cause them to become violent rebels and unstable people, and they become a greater threat to society. They did absolutely nothing. They hid it. They buried it. They've never investigated or done anything. So what you're saying about the chainsawing, the drug cartels, and the increasing irrationality and all that in California, it is right there in black and white. And I think this is another thing that Americans, and especially Californians, need to have put in front of them, like a court case. All we're doing, Paul, is we are the prosecuting attorneys for the Constitution of the United States and the righteousness of America, and we're going to the American people that Peter Strzok and Lisa Page have contempt for, that Hillary's contempt for. They label them the average American that they don't like, that they call Walmart stinking, smelling gun fanatics. Well, I call them the real Americans, the real people that bled and died for this country. And we're presenting this, saying, look, here are the documents, here's the evidence. Now we're asking you to stand up and asking you to help us regain our republic, help us create a new state in New California, separate from this leprous, parasitic ash heap, which they are turning California in, and return and create a new state where we get back our freedoms. We eliminate this oppressive tax code. We allow businesses to start up and flourish without being bled to death with red tape and licenses. We get rid of the vaccines that are turning your children into lobotomized retards or homosexuals with the changing of the masculinity testosterone and filling little boys with estrogen that is being reinforced with these transgender bathrooms and the homosexual inclusivity agenda. That's not what schools are about. But if you don't want that in your kids, then create a new state in New California and listen in and support shows that talk about this, like yours, Paul. That's what we're doing, is bringing the truth and all of this to American citizens. And hopefully, I think they are. They're waking up, and they're seeing that they only have two choices. Either be a slave to Becerra and Jerry Brown and these fascists. And this is the other thing. Let me just comment quickly. Peter Strzok and Lisa Page said again and again, the country is changing. The country has changed. Demographically, it won't work. They were already anticipating the complete racial elimination of essentially white people in this country with brown, black, Mexican, people from foreign countries brought over as refugees, whatever you want to say. They were saying the demographic change in America is not going to allow Trump to be elected. And that is a warning shot that's their true agenda.
You know,
that's why they're pushing this sanctuary city policy. And they said it in the text between Peter Strzok and Lisa Page.
Well, you know, and the thing is that we've known this, is that's been their agenda for quite some time. But, you know, the other part of that agenda is it's not just the, you know, the European white people out of America, which is part of their agenda, but it's also really the black people. And it was Ted Hayes, the activist from Los Angeles, who has been really adamant about that black people are going to be pushed out just as well under that plan. And boy, it certainly has played out, because you can see how the quote plantation society that has been set up by the Democrats is nothing positive for black people. And right. One of the things that we're seeing is a rejection wholeheartedly of that mentality. And it's coming from not only – it's coming from black people. We got – look at all the conservative black people that are doing a fantastic job. It's coming from brown people, Mexican people. It's coming – I mean, my relatives.
Right.
It's coming from everybody of all colors.
Right.
It's coming in a resistance against that. It's a repulsive notion, and they thought they could use, which is what Trotsky's big card was way back in the day, the communist who came into Mexico. that he could play the race card and divide America. And that's the whole thing. You know, you're dividing one against the other. And it doesn't matter if you're white, black, brown, or whatever. You know, the fundamental is to divide and conquer. Divide the sexes and conquer. Divide the races and conquer. And that is exactly the mentality that they've used. And so this time around, they want to get rid of Europeans of that are Caucasians and certainly Protestants, because that's the Martin Luther thing. That would be something that's part of their agenda in a big, big way. And then they come in yep. with an ideology saying, oh, well, you know, we deserve to be taken over the southern portion of the United States and all that stuff. They throw in that little race business. And, of course, the thing that's a wonderful thing, though, and I'll say this again, is that everybody's rejected it by all races, by all ethnic groups. And we see that in New California
right.
over and over and over again. There is a mission about keeping our freedom and liberty, and it cuts all racial boundaries. And yeah. That's their biggest enemy right now, and they know it. And I'll tell you, we are seeing it. We're seeing it. We're getting a lot of pushback because we're getting stronger. We've got 44 counties now. And, you know, we got more and more activity going on. We're going to be going in, here in July to our very first constitutional convention, in which we're going to put together the government, you know, with yeah. assembly members and senators and executive branch and so on. It's going to be pretty outstanding. And, you know, this is exciting times for California. And, Scott, you know, since the election, the primary election, we have been flooded. We have been flooded with people who ran for office. Their whole campaigns have come on board with New California. They've become we got a coordination problem, because now we got really a lot of talent that's going to be able to work in a coordinated fashion with us. But and that's all going to be worked out yet. That's part of our own bureaucracy at this point. But the talent pool that we have, because, you know, this election system in California is so rigged. We knew that conservatives of all stripes were going to be aced out, and that's exactly what happened in this election. So, you know, we said, hey, you know, come on over. And they've been flocking to us like crazy now. So it's a good thing for New California.
I think New California is going to lead the way for the rest of the nation. It is going to separate along the lines of West Virginia and Virginia. It's going to show every state in the country you can go through the legislative constitutional process and get back to the original founding of America. You can get rid of 90% of all of these excessive taxes and regulations and illegal, unconstitutional, unlawful actions that have been done to the citizenry. And you can get back to the dream of the founding fathers. You can get back to people protecting their families, having the right to keep and bear arms, which eliminates crime. Crime will go down. You'll have no need for the excessive police forces. You won't have this excessive federal presence in the Bureau of Land Management or elsewhere. You won't have vaccines. You won't have this crippling education, social engineering, fascism. You will have none of that. You will get back to the basic living conditions that the founders envisioned, and you will have a healthier, happier society. And that's what people are yearning for, because we're living in a very sick, oppressed society right now. That's why people are responding with the backlash and the political moral outrage, and they're not going to take it anymore. They're standing up and saying, we are no longer drinking your poison. We recognize this OIG report is really a health assessment of the American public, yeah. because you're seeing the wickedness and the vile contempt that is coming out of the deep state, big government types.
Yep.
And it reminds us why we need to shed them.
Yep. And listen, Scott, we've got to close it out. We've gone 2 hours solid here. Thanks for being with us. Tell us how we can get a hold of you.
ShellGameWhistleblower.com.
Awesome. Scott Bennett here on Agenda 21 Radio and NewCaliforniaState.com. Remember, NewCaliforniaState.com. Anyway, thanks, Scott, for being with us.
Thank you, Paul.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that wraps it up. Man, what a way to wrap up a week, right? Anyway, thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. And remember to visit our website, agenda21radio.news, and also newcaliforniastate.com. And like I say at this time in the radio show, stay strong, America, stay strong. We are exceptional Americans.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
Stay tuned for more of Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio.
A well-regulated militia is necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Shop online at either Shooter's Paradise Online prices. That's shootersparadiseonline.us or theshootingstore.com and enter the zip code 95993 to shop with Shooter's Paradise.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.